Stassi. I figured another solo Ebby this week, because there are some important things to talk about. Namely, my freaking book. Finally announced it. Finally, I get to talk about it. I've been holding in all of these feelings. I feel like I've just been carrying a giant secret, and I don't know why I feel the need to keep what I'm working on always a secret, but it's just the way that I work. You know, I'm never going to be one of those people that teases things. I mean, I never say never, actually. Never say never. You know, there's a way, there's a time and a place, there's a way to execute a little teaser in a right way. I just haven't mastered that yet. The only way I know to be, and the only way I know how to work, is to just quietly, secretly work on something. And then once it's finished, bam, here you go. Hope you love it. If you don't, don't tell me, take it or leave it. That's the only way. I'm just like, drop shit. And then like, I retreat. And then I go and work on the next thing. And then all of a sudden, months later or a year later or however long, drop it again and then retreat again. That's just my move. So I just felt like I wanted to do a solo episode today so I could like really talk about my book. I also listened to Taylor Swift's new album. You guys, people and their like 800 song albums, it needs to stop. I think I said this on my last solo episode when I was like, I listened to the Beyonce, I have some thoughts. Why are there so many songs? There's not enough time. And how do all of the people listen to it right away? And like, it's like I woke up Friday morning and I was already seeing everyone's opinions about it. I'm like, you guys, it takes a while. You got to listen to things like over and over again on repeat to really digest them, hear them, sort your thoughts, decide whether you like it or not. Like, it takes time. Everyone with their opinions, like just straight out the gate, just like one listen. I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me. Anyway, so I want to discuss that. But before we get into today's episode, before I start talking about my book, I just have to say, you know, I'm struggling a little bit with parenthood, with motherhood. It's so funny because right after I had Messer, I was like, this is hard. Wow. Two children. It's really a lot. To me, going from one to two was harder than going from zero to one. And after like the first few months, I got over that and I started to like thrive is an aggressive word. No, there was no thriving, but I was just doing a pretty decent job at parenting, being happy, holding myself together, you know, just, I felt on top of my shit. But recently, the last two weekends have become so draining. I am so drained right now that I was sitting here with my podcast equipment, like, how the fuck am I gonna talk for an hour when like I can barely string a sentence together just in my own house? Like I had to give myself a pep talk just now to be like, this is your job, Stassi. You have to do it. Like this whole morning, I was literally like, I'm drained. My children have drained me. This is why I think, okay, I haven't, it's not a secret that Hartford throws a lot of tantrums and we've tried a million different things. It's just she dark passengers. Once she gets into that state of mind, it's really hard for her to not see red, for her to just, to take her out of it. Nothing works. So there's that. But now we're to the point where Messer, he's not crawling yet, which I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to skip it and just go straight to walking, because this kid will not get on his knees. He won't. He refuses. It's just, we've tried. It's not going to happen. But he's getting restless now. So he like just sitting in his, or standing in his like standing play pen thing, Like, that's not working. He's frustrated because he wants to be moving around, wants to be exploring and reaching for things. And so therefore, even though he's a very happy baby, there's a lot of fussing. And it's been really hard because Hartford needs us and he needs us. So there is no sitting down anymore. There's no sitting down because Messer doesn't want to just sit and relax, which also is scaring the shit out of me because I realized it's only going to get harder. Because when Messer starts walking around, then there's really no sitting down. There's really, you have to have your eyes on your children at all times. So there will be no conversing between me and Beau. We're not having conversations. We won't be having conversations. We won't be hanging out. It will literally just be one of us watching each kid. That's scary. Dark times ahead. So anyway, that's where I'm at right now. I'm just struggling a bit with just feeling drained. Like I have no energy. Like I'm mentally drained, emotionally drained, physically drained. You know, I'm just having one of those days and it's also cloudy. So I don't have the sunshine. I don't have the vitamin D to help me out right now. It may sound like I'm just like constantly complaining about, you know, shit, but I just feel like it's important to be honest with where you're at any given moment. Right now, as I'm recording this podcast, I'm not gonna lie and pretend like everything's great. Like I had a wonderful weekend. We went to Disney on Ice. Yeah, we went to Disney on Ice, but was it a hard weekend? Yes. It was like a 2-hour drive to get to Disney on Ice. That was not the best. We had a play date that was with other parents and their kids. And I realized like, wow, it's impossible to have a conversation when your children are around. Like it's impossible. Like I didn't even have any manners on this play date. Like they brought out like a big bottle of sparkling water for the table. And for some reason, my brain thought that it was just being brought over just for me. Like, and I start drinking out of the sparkling water, like a weird feral animal. Like I had zero manners. And then I realized, oh my gosh, it's 6:30. And no wonder Messer's freaking out because this is when he's going down for bedtime. And I'm like, we have to leave. I didn't offer to help clean up. Who have I become? I used to pride myself on my manners. You know, I'm from New Orleans. I'm from the South. Like manners all day, every day. But I'm becoming a parent. I forget how to be a normal adult. I forget how to be polite. I forget how do we act in social situations. I don't know because I'm too concerned with like both my kids that are making noises or are asking for me or needing something from me that I can't focus. So yeah, you guys, I mean, I love my children. I love being a mother. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. But there are weekends that make you question your existence, If the love that a mother has for her kid and that feeling of purpose and that like there's just this overwhelming feeling of love, like if anything happened to your kid, you would rather not go on. Like if that didn't exist, I'm not sure people would be having kids for real. Like that feeling makes up for all of the hard, 100%. There is no better feeling than the love that you feel for your children. But if that didn't exist, the like human race would like die out within like literally, I'd say 7 years. Just guessing, a guesstimate. Okay, let's just get to my book now. Finally, you know, in January, I did a podcast with Taylor where I was like, you bitch. You know, I told you that I had something due and I told you not to come in town because this book was due. This is what I was talking about in that moment. I have been working on this book since the last one because in Off With My Head, I did a chapter about, you know, the phrase, can you have it all? Can women have it all? And it just like that chapter just stuck with me. And the more that I lived life, the more I just like kept realizing, well, first of all, everyone has a different opinion and a different idea of what having it all means. Okay. Not every woman out there wants to have babies, wants to get married. Not every woman out there wants a career. Not every woman out there wants to own her own home. Like a lot of people are like, no, why would I want to be tied to something? Like, I'd rather just rent and like go and travel. Yeah, there are different versions of having it all. So like let's take that out of it I'm talking about the stereotypical version of having it all, where it's like, as women, we should want to get married. We should want to own our own home. We should want to have babies. We should want to have a career. We should want to have a hot bod. We should want to have like a great wardrobe. We should have a great social life. We should like, be, you know, wellnessy, be on top of our mental health. Like we should be calm, zen, but still on top of our shit. All of the things at the same time. I've been thinking about this for years, and it was a no-brainer that I had to write about it. It was an absolute no-brainer because I'm like, I can talk about this in any category of life. Why are we expected to operate at 100% in every category? I had never had these thoughts before children, okay? I was just like coasting, living life, just like doing the damn thing. But then once I got pregnant, first of all, like the second you feel like you're having it all, just get pregnant. Because it's like, once you get pregnant, there's just like a whole list of things that you can't do that just like remind you that like, oh yeah, no, you cannot have it all. There's nothing like being 9 months pregnant and watching your friends like go out and have fun and travel and live life to make you just realize like, wow, I can't, I'm not allowed. I can't get on that plane. And if I were to walk into, you know, this nightclub, not that I want to go to a nightclub, okay, but just like this hip party or something, like no one would want my 9 month pregnant like energy around. So you just feel like, no, okay, you are making sacrifices. This is the point in life where we start making major sacrifices. So that's when I started realizing, yeah, no, the having it all thing. Mm-mm. And then, you know, over time I was like, there's actually a beauty in not wanting to have it all, or at least realizing that you can't. Like, because once you realize you can't anyway, it kind of takes a lot of the pressure off. It makes you realize that, you know, the key to happiness is like actually being grateful and happy with what you do have. It's like recognizing like the luxuries you do have, or the gifts that you do have, and taking comfort in that. And just like really focusing on the little things. There were a lot of times where I felt like I wish I could be out doing more. But then I realized like if I sit around wishing for that, like I'm missing out on these precious moments with my babies, or precious moments with my husband, or just like in our house. And I found that like being like in the middle, settling for like in the middle and not like being the best at everything at all times, it's kind of a more joyful way to live. I have been someone my whole entire life, I had to excel at everything that I did. Otherwise, like I wouldn't even want to do it. I'm one of those sore losers. Like, you know, like when like people play games and then they see that they're losing, so they're just like, I don't want to play. And then they stop the game. That's me. Okay. Yes. I have faults too, you know. That's me. I have to excel at everything that I'm doing. It's an issue. It's a problem. And it became exhausting. It has become exhausting. And this is something that I am trying to work on. Trust. The irony of spending the last part of my pregnancy and the first part of my, you know, after I gave birth, the first part of my postpartum journey, like the irony of me spending that time writing a book about chilling out, meaning like take the pressure off. You don't need to girl boss. Let's all relax. It's okay. The irony is not lost on me. And that is what made this book by far the most challenging one to write. By far. Because I realized like it's a mind fuck, because I'd go down to write it. I'd go sit down to write it. And I'd be like, I'm so stressed out. I'm pregnant. I have to get the nursery together. Oh my, like there are all these things going on. Why am I forcing myself to write a book when the very thing I'm writing about is to not force yourself to girl boss? Like you don't have to, like you can relax. You can relax. And so it was a mind fuck, and it was really hard to sit and and sort out my thoughts. And as I was writing it, I realized I'm writing this for me, as well as for you. But I am a huge part of it is it's like a handbook for me. It's a reminder, a list for me to untrain my brain, to untrain my brain in the way that I think that I have to be operating at 100% at all times. Like, I'm sick of going on Instagram and seeing other moms like really kill it, or not even just like moms, like other people who are just like, wow, you're working so hard. You're traveling all the time. You're going to all these parties. You're so relevant, or you're like, wow, like I'm that person that I'm looking at, their life is suffering. That part, like, there's a category in their lives that is suffering in some way. And I try and remind myself of that because I've spent too much time comparing myself to people on social media, and I'm done. And so that's why I've written this for myself and for you guys. God, I am like full blown, just like word vomiting, but I just feel like the message is so important. And I don't want anyone to think like, oh, this is just like purely a self-help book. Tis not. It's actually not a self-help book. It's the same format as my previous two books. Through telling stories about my life, the theme of the book arises. Okay? I'm telling stories from the last few years. I'm telling stories from the last 10 years. Like, there are stories, like I haven't spoken about my wedding in book form. I'm mentioning it all, you know? There's a lot of mental health stuff, mentioning it all. There's a lot of career stuff, mentioning it all. And through telling my stories about myself, that's where the theme rises. So when you decide, like how I did that, because I'm manifesting you buying this book. When you decide to buy this book, this isn't a how-to on just like relaxing or taking the pressure off. This is to inspire you. This is the basic bitch guide to inspire you to just let it go. If you're tired of working out, don't do it for a while. Like, if you're not making like balanced meals for your kids every day, fuck it. Like, it'll be okay if you give them McDonald's sometimes. In fact, like, they love it. You can make, you know, like, make cookies for breakfast. Who cares? If you're tired of, like, you know, you feel like, you know what? I'm sick of feeling like I need to girl boss and like be a boss and build a business or build my own brand or like get ahead or get a promotion. You might not, maybe you don't even want that promotion. Maybe with that promotion comes way more responsibility that like would actually just kind of make you miserable. So, you know, hopefully this basic bitch guide, these stories will inspire you to be like, fuck it. Fuck it. Because, you know, I'm not going to say this is the anti-girl boss book, because I will always have girl boss tendencies, 100%. Like, I always will. Like, there is a part of that that's in my DNA. I can't shake it fully. And I still believe, obviously, like, go after your dreams, be ambitious, have goals, like, work towards something, like, 100%. I'm not, like, saying give up. Like, at all. I'm just saying this, like, hustle culture, and not just hustle in terms of work, hustling in terms of motherhood, hustling in terms of making sure you're like, your mental health is in check, hustling in terms of just like anything, like being the best, like this hustle culture, it's got to stop. It's got to stop because we're tired, or at least I am. I'm exhausted. This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. So whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your own terms. I don't make my own website, but Lo does. And Lo tells me, like she's always told me, that Squarespace is
what she uses. And I was like, okay, tell me all about it, because like, let's have them as a sponsor. And she's like, okay, well, first of all, the best part of it is that like, they provide you with just these flexible website templates. So if you're thinking of starting a website, which in any business, you kind of have to have, and not just a business, you can, I mean, have a website for almost anything. But if you're thinking of doing that and you don't know where to begin because you're not tech savvy, like me, like I wouldn't know where to begin, Lo would direct me to Squarespace. And she explained that like, okay, they give you these website templates and they're very professional. And then you can just customize your look, update content, and add features to like fit your needs. And they make it really, really easy and like idiot proof, like for somebody like me. But I think that the genius behind Squarespace is that it literally does it all. Okay. So you can do an online store. You can sell products. Like, that's incredible. You can host video content. So say like you don't want an online store, say you want to just like do videos and have video content. Like, you can do that too. They give you blogging tools if that's your route that you want to take. They do email campaigns so they can drive sales and engage your audience. Like, there is so much to Squarespace that you could use. It's genius. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Stassi to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Get it started. Because I know that like, if I were to like start a website, I'd be like, I don't know where to begin. Squarespace, that's where you begin. Like, they make it easy for you. Where would I be without Factor meals, especially as a mother? The way that I'm living off of this on a regular basis, okay? What I love about Factor meals is that these aren't frozen meals. These are fresh, delicious, ready-to-eat meals that are delivered to your door. And there's so many different options. So once I like pick them out online, they arrive insulated at my door. Then I just put them in the refrigerator and we eat them for the rest of the week. So like, I'm not eating frozen food. This is fresh, delicious food. And they have so many different options to choose from depending on like what your eating style or like, you know, thing. They have Calorie Smart, they have Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. My favorite are all of the chickens and Nona's Bolognese. But like the chickens, I've never gotten a chicken I didn't like, especially the sun-dried tomato. So delicious. And it only takes 2 minutes. So like, it's genius, especially if you have kids and you're like, I don't have time. I have to work also. You just get fresh, delicious food delivered to your door and then you can just cook it in 2 minutes and that's it. Easy, easy, easy. So head to factormeals.com/Stassi50 and use code Stassi50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. So that's code Stassi50 at factormeals.com/Stassi50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Let's talk about my favorite hair care line, because they have recently come out with something new, an anti-frizz cream. Yeah, listen up. I'm talking about Way products. I use their shampoo. I use their conditioner, their leave-in conditioner, their hair gloss, which is my favorite. The Way the hair gloss, I know we're supposed to be talking about the anti-frizz cream, but like, let me just talk for a second about the hair gloss. The Way the hair gloss has taken over my life. It's added an extra 5 minutes to my day, or like it's taken 5 minutes because I'm so obsessed. In the shower, I will sit there with the gloss on my hair every time I take a shower and wash my hair because I just love the way that it makes my hair feel and look. And the leave-in conditioner is basically like my perfume. Like, it smells so good. I even use it on Hartford. I also love the detox shampoo. That's my favorite. I can't live without Way products. And now they have a new anti-frizz cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I love that it helps prevent heat damage because like when I'm curling my hair, whatever, like that, that's what I worry about the most. It also helps to reduce and repair split ends while quenching dry hair and intense hydration. I mean, yes. So join me in the Way. We're like the Way crew. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theway.com. That's theouai.com and enter promo code Stassi for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Stassi. One more thing before I wrap up this book talk. I remember the moment that I was like,
this book matters. This book matters. And it was before, it was after I had written the proposal. So like I had all the ideas out there, the structure out there, but I hadn't actually sat down to fully start doing it. And there was a moment back in last fall, two falls ago, oh Jesus, before I got pregnant with Hartford or with Messer. And I don't know if I've explained like how my house works. Like it's a 4-bedroom house. One of them is like separate kind of from the house. So like it's our guest quarters, you know, it has like a separate little living room and all that. So like a kid couldn't be down there. I could not put a child down there. It's too separate from the house. So we have these 3 bedrooms in the main house. And one of them, since I moved in, was my closet room. Because in old houses, the closet space it's not vast. It's very small. So when we got this house, I'm like, oh, I wasn't expecting to have like 2 children within a few years. I was like, well, I'll just use one of the rooms as a closet and I'll build a closet room, like the room of my dreams. So we had our maid bedroom, we had Hartford's room, her nursery, and a closet room. And people would ask me back then, 2 years ago, whatever, they were like, do you want to have another baby? I'm like, yes. Like I've always wanted to be a mom. I love being a mom. Yes, I know I was just complaining about how hard it is and how I'm struggling, but like I'd have 6 children if I could afford to live a wonderful like life and still like travel and do all the things. I would have as many kids as possible. But so people would ask me, do you want another kid? I'm like, yeah, I do, but I feel like I have to have another house first. I had like this whole idea of like, I have to have a giant yard. I have to have like a playroom. I have to have more bedrooms so that I can have a closet room. I had this idea in my head that like I had to have it all in order for me to have another baby. Like visually, that's what I was imagining. Like I couldn't possibly have another baby in this house. Like where would I put the baby? And one day I walked into my closet room and I was like, you dumb bitch, you idiot, you selfish moron. What is it that you really want? Like, what is it that you want? And I told myself, I was like, you want another baby. Like when you think about it, like right now, if God could give you anything, if a genie could give you anything, what would it be? You would want a baby. And I was just sitting there in my closet room looking around at all my shoes and my clothes, disgusted that I had just been putting off trying to get pregnant because of a closet room. Like, because I didn't want to lose my closet room. Like, that's crazy. Like, there was an extra bedroom for a baby, and I was using it to store a bunch of shoes that I had nowhere to go wearing them. Like a bunch of dresses that I don't know where to go to wear them. Do people even wear dresses anymore? You know, like I couldn't believe it. I'm like, why do I think that I have to have this perfect situation in order to have another baby? And that's when I realized like, you don't have to have it all. You just make things work. If there's something that you want, just like make it happen. And so I'm like, I'm an idiot. I'm going to get rid of my closet room. I'm going to get rid of half my clothes. I'm going to get rid of half my shoes. I'm going to get rid of half my handbags because I don't need it. And what I really want is a baby. And it's okay if it doesn't look the way that I thought it was going to look. Like, it's okay that like it didn't, the way I was imagining things, that's not how it turned out. Like, and I think that's important. I think we're so focused in having things look a way that we think it should look. You know, we need to look like we have it all. We don't. And so I got rid of my closet room, sold half of my shit, turned it into a beautiful nursery, and I have a beautiful baby boy. I mean, right? And that was the moment that I'm like, this book is important. The messages in here are so important. Because like, just because certain areas of your life don't look the way that you thought they were going to look, doesn't mean they're... Sometimes they're better. Sometimes they're better. That was like a wild stream of consciousness. If you turned this episode off, I don't blame you. I don't. But I just felt like I couldn't plan what to say about this book. It's too important. I needed to just like word vomit the fuck out of it because it means a lot to me. And I am the most vulnerable I've ever been in this book. And I feel like I'm naked. I have butterflies, nerves. I feel like I'm going to vomit all the time when I think about like people reading it. It matters. So I just felt, you know, stream of consciousness, just like let it out, let it out. So anyway, if you want to go pre-order my book, You Can't Have It All. It's available for pre-order. Comes out September 10th and I will be doing a book tour. That's always like one of my favorite parts to like meet everyone and like bond over like shit and all, you know, all the Khaleesi stuff. You know who else has poured her heart out recently? Who's been extra vulnerable and who's being judged? Miss T Swift, Miss Taylor Swift. Okay. So her album has come out. The Tortured Poets Department, the anthology. What does that mean? I thought it was just the Tortured Poets Department and then it's the anthology. Is that because of the extra songs she released? Maybe. I don't know. When did she have time to write this? You know who needs my book? Taylor Swift. I give you permission, Taylor Swift, to relax. I give you permission to take a vacay, to tap out, to give us nothing. Like, I'm happy that she's giving us everything, but like, I don't understand how she's functioning. I truly don't. The fact that she was able to write this album while she was touring, doing the biggest tour of all time, it felt like 3-hour shows. Like I can't believe that I complain that I'm like stressed or overwhelmed. I can't believe that. So Taylor Swift, like she performs all night long. Let me just like get this straight. I'm just trying to imagine it. Okay. She performs all night long, which I would imagine she gets there early because like warm up, I don't know, practice. I don't know what singers do, you know, like get in the zone. You know, so she's there for a really long time at night. Then she doesn't get out until what, like midnight, 1 a.m., something like that. I don't know. Then goes back to her hotel or her home or wherever that she's staying. And I know from experience, not me comparing my podcast tour to Taylor Swift's tour. Yep. Okay. I have to. It's because I know what it's like to at least like go on stage and exert a lot of energy. I know what it's like to go on stage and entertain. No, I know. I don't know what it's like to go on stage and sing and dance and like be a performer like that, but it's the only thing I have to compare. So because I know what it's like to go on stage and entertain, I also know that after every show, I'm wired. Like even when I was pregnant, wired, wide awake. There's just so much adrenaline that like it's impossible to just like fall asleep. So I'm imagining Taylor Swift gets back to her hotel room. It's like 1 a.m. She doesn't fall asleep for a really long time because she's wired. I mean, right? That's like my thought. Unless she's like popping Xanax or Ambien or something. But like, still, then I would think that she sleeps in because rightfully so, you know, she needs to rest. And then so she sleeps in, like has a meal and then does it all over again. Like when did she have time? And then she's got to get on planes in between then. There's like, you know, she was going to a football game. She's going out to dinner with Blake Lively, Brittany Mahomes. Like when was she writing this album? And then when was she recording it? Like, what? How did she have the time? It blows my mind. So impressive. She really is just like giving us the most. She can relax. She needs to relax. I wonder if she's giving us the most right now because she's about to take a really long break. I have a theory. I that's like kind of my theory. Because she's mentioned, there's been a few occasions that Taylor Swift has mentioned that like, oh no, like I know that I'm fully in everyone's faces right now, a little too much, that kind of thing. Like all we hear is Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift. And no good can ever come from too much of that. Like the pendulum always swings in the opposite direction. No matter what, always, that's just, it's the way of celebrity. It's the way of the entertainment industry. That's just the way we, as people who consume content, that's just like how it works. So like she's acknowledged that she's out there a lot. Yet she still felt the need to put this extraordinary long album out like immediately, like right after, like we haven't had a break from Taylor Swift. So like, that's a choice. Everything she does is well thought out. She doesn't just like, okay, I think I'll just like put this out. No, she overthinks everything and plans everything. And so this was a choice, which makes me think she just wanted to get all this out there so that now or sometime in the near future, she can take a breaksies. Maybe she could have a baby. Maybe she could get married and just like, travel for a while or like be a wag or something like that. There's something there, especially with her last song, the Clara Bow song, where she says the line at the end where it's like, oh, you kind of like look like Taylor Swift, except like she didn't have an edge, blah, 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 something like that, which tells me that she's like, oh, I'm replaceable. Someone will be here like right after me, that kind of thing. First of all, she's not replaceable. No one is. None of you are. No one is replaceable. But like it's giving that vibe of like, let's wrap this up because my time may be coming, this time, this glorious time might be coming to an end for the moment because I might need to like take a step back, chill and relax. Just a little theory. I don't know. It just came to me. I've seen like so many mixed reviews about this album, which I find to be expected and weird at the same time. If you listen to this album, it is a work of art. Like her lyrics are insanely like impressive. Like they're, to me, I know this isn't about like the title of the, like the album. It's not because it's a poetry album. I know because it's like has to do with her ex or whatever. But like, to me, I'm like, this is poetry. This is literature. This needs to be studied. The way that her brain works in terms of lyrics, I'm like, she is just a genius. So like everyone, like the people that are coming out being like, who does she think she is, a poet? If even, she's not saying that, but I think she is. To me, that's, these songs greater than any haiku I've ever read. I think the people that are hating on this album are just like the people that are like, I've had too much Taylor Swift. I think that that's those people. People that are just like, we've had enough of it. You know, that's all that is. Because when you listen to this, the music is, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Like, are there bops? Not really. There's one, I feel like. What's that one? I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, which I love because I love how it's like about something just like depressing. Like she's depressed and sad, but she's going on tour and pretending like she's not. And it all of a sudden just like kind of gets like boppy and fun and like dance-ish. And she's like talking about how she acts like it's her birthday every day. I'm like, yeah, I love, all of a sudden this just got fun. So like, I really love that song. Very into it. I love the song So Long London. That one's a good one. Reminds me of Imogen Heap. I was obsessed with Imogen Heap in high school. I was frou-frou. Oh my God. Obsessed. That's what I listened to in the car like 24/7 when I got my license. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. This is exciting for me. I'm going to be real with you guys. Okay. Growing up in New Orleans, whenever there was like a special occasion, like Christmas or my birthday, or like I needed to, you know, I got to like buy something that was really nice, my parents would take me to the Saks that's downtown in downtown New Orleans. Like that's what I grew up with, Saks being like the holiest place ever in terms of clothes. Like you go into Saks and you know that like, okay, this is cool stuff. This is what nice clothes are. This is what quality clothes are. These are the new designers. This is what I should be paying attention to. So the fact that they're a sponsor today is very exciting for me. And because I grew up like that, because Saks was just like a huge thing in New Orleans, ever since then, I've always used their website as almost like a Pinterest, like where I go to get inspiration to like be like, okay, like what are the new brands that I should be paying attention to? Like, how are people putting things together? Because they have these curated shops on their website. And I just like find that really helpful. So it's basically like just getting inspiration. And let me tell you, after you've been pregnant and then postpartum and you finally like start feeling like yourself again, the trends have changed. Everything's changed. So I have to go be like, okay, what's cool? What are the girlies wearing now? And so I go to Saks.com and I look at everything. I'm like, okay, so this is what's cool. I see that like we're getting into like a cowgirl aesthetic. I see that like, okay, like 90s platforms are in. Like that Saks is just ridiculously helpful when it comes to that. So if you are somebody like me looking for inspiration, looking to like, what are the trends? What are like the new things that I can be wearing? What are the new brands that I should be paying attention to? Because I know Saks knows it. Saks is your answer. So find inspiration for your new vibe at Saks.com. You know how the smallest little thing in life or on a day could just change the day around or make the biggest difference. Say you're like driving your car and you're just like angry. And instead of like honking at someone because they like annoyed you, you just look over and smile at them. Like it kind of like shifts the energy. Just the smallest thing can make a big difference. Small actions can have big benefits. Like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. I feel like over the last few years, there's been a lot of talk about gut health, or at least like I've heard in the last few years. So I want to talk about Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic and how it benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. We got to take this seriously, okay? Your body is an ecosystem and great health starts in the gut. Your gut is a central hub for various pathways through the body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and so much more. What's great is that these are capsules, okay? So we're talking about fragile bacteria here, okay? And their patented capsule and capsule design means that fragile bacteria, it can survive the journey from shipping to your door where it works best in your body. So your body's getting what it needs, all without synthetic or chemical coatings. We all need to be taking probiotics and prebiotics. So try Seed's, try their DS01. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/Stassi and use code 25Stassi to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/Stassi, code 25Stassi. But let's talk about my true favorite song that I am going to make my whole personality, I've decided. And that's Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. I've listened to it like 78 times already. And I want it to be my anthem. Now, like, I don't feel like I'm in a position where the lyrics fully make sense. Like where I'm at right now, I don't feel like I need to like prove things to anyone. I'm not like, you know, trying to fight my way back into something, or I'm not like, I don't feel like I've been slighted. I don't feel like someone's hurt me. I don't feel like I've been rejected. I just really like the song and it makes me feel empowered. And I love that she uses, you know, the word gallows, and it's just like kind of dark and spooky. And it's just the vibe. That's really all it is. I came across a TikTok yesterday with this song, with the line that says, you wouldn't last an hour in the asylum where they raised me. And the TikTok was of the Serb parking lot in the back.
and they were like being raised in the Bravo universe. I'm like, oh my God, I feel this. I feel this. How many of you guys think you would have lasted an hour in the Serbac parking lot over and over and over and over again? Right? Am I right? The more I read the lyrics, because I just brought them up in the computer in front of me, the more I read them, the more I'm like, God, I want to be angry at something so that this song makes sense. Like, I want people to be afraid of me, but like, why? I guess I don't like really. Like, I don't want people to be scared of me, but at the same time, I do only because of this song. Like, it's just like so powerful. Truly. And the more I read the lyrics, I'm just like, oh, okay. So like they caged her to like, and they trained her and then called her crazy once she turned into the thing that they trained her to be. I'm like, oh, okay. It's giving Bravo a little, I guess. Okay. You know, when you're on a reality show on Bravo, it's like you're trained a little bit. See, I'm making this song work for me. Okay. I'm making the song. I'm tailoring it to my life right now. I'm finding a way to relate. Okay. The Bravo universe. Yeah. When you're on a reality show on Bravo, I'm saying Bravo specifically because that's the network that I know. I don't know how it is on other networks. You're rewarded, especially for the type of show that Vanderpump Rules is. Okay. You're rewarded for bad behavior. So like you're caged and they train you to keep doing things that are bad or saying things that are bad or just like, you know, because that's how you're rewarded. You're rewarded when you kind of do shitty things. You're rewarded with screen time. You're rewarded with more attention. You know, like that's the way that it works. And then you turn into, over time, you actually just like fully start turning into a bad person. And then everyone who like was the one who was training you was like, what? You're a bad person. You're crazy. Well, hello. You guys are the one that trained me to be this way. Your fault. Now I got to go to therapy, undo all of this work. Got to look inward. Got to really take a couple years off, look inward and be like, wow, where did I go wrong? My fault. But anyway, I just tried to make this. I wanted to make this song about me. And that's the best that I got. It honestly makes sense. And that felt like a therapy session. Just me saying that out loud. But yeah, I am fully going to make it my personality. I did this. I made Reputation, the Look What You Made Me Do, and Are You Ready For It? I made those songs, mainly Look What You Made Me Do. I made those songs my personality back in the day because it was right after I went through a breakup with my previous boyfriend. And so I was like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, look what you made me do. I'm a hard ass. Yeah, yeah. You know, like that was my vibe. And the more that I think about it, you guys, this is going to sound weird, but like, I kind of feel this in my bones. I think Taylor Swift, like in another dimension or like whatever, like we're on the same, like her relationship trajectory, her path reminds me of mine. I just did it first. Okay. Hear me out for a second. Joe Alwyn. That's Man Bun. Okay. That's Man Bun. Like when I think back on that relationship that I had, okay, I call him Man Bun. Just if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, Google it. I'm sure it's Googleable. I just like don't want to say his name, whatever. Anyway, when I think back on that, like he wanted me. I felt like I had to hide. Like we had to hide. The way that like Joe and Taylor hid, they weren't public. They weren't, you know, out there praising each other. They weren't living life. Like that's how I felt in that relationship. You know, he didn't want me to do reality TV. He didn't want me to be out there. He didn't want me going out. He didn't want me friends with certain people. Like I felt I wasn't myself in that relationship. I fully like, I lost myself in that relationship, but I was still in it. Like I still was in it and I held on for dear life. Just like another line in one of her songs, I think it was the So Long London, where she's like, you think I'm abandoning ship, but I was going down with this ship, like white knuckled. I'm like, yeah. Like I remember so many times during so many breakups being told like, I can't believe you're just quitting. You're just like abandoning on us. You're just like, I can't believe you're doing it. I'm like, I'm
doing the opposite. I'm doing everything to keep this going. Like, how much more pain? This is another thing. How much more pain do you think I can, like, withstand? How much more sad, like, that song, that lyric, how much more sad do you think I have? Like, how much more sad do you think is in here? Are you out of your mind? You want me to have some more sad? Like, how much farther down do I need to go before I fully break, bro? I feel this. So if Joe is man bun, then Matt Healy, who everyone's talking about, like, is this album more about Matt or is it more about Joe? Because I keep seeing all these TikToks and people dissecting everything and being like, it's so relatable that she decided to write the album about, like, a 6 week long situationship over her, like, 6 year relationship to Joe Alwyn. I don't know whether that's true or not. Like, how everyone acts like they know exactly what every single thing she's saying means. Like, none of us are ever going to fully know. Speculate, but we're never going to know, okay? Like, these people who, like, make the TikTok videos act like they've been told. They have the inside scoop. They know. They have it's been verified. No, it hasn't been verified, you guys. Like, none of us will ever really know what each song is fully about. But if it's true that that a lot of these songs are just about Matt Healy and the situationship, that's where the people that I dated who, like, kind of, like, did a little mini number on me in between Man Bun and Bo, that's my Matt Healy, okay? Because there were a couple people there that, like, even though we weren't exclusive and, like, it didn't last that long at all, but, like, I learned some lessons. I got hoodwinked a little bit. And if this is true, then that means Travis Kelce is Bo. Travis Kelce is her Bo, which kind of fits. Because, like, even, like, their vibes, think of Man Bun, definitely gives, like, more of the Joe vibe, okay? And then when you think of Bo, definitely gives more of the Travis vibe, where it's like, loves to have a good time, loves to just make jokes, laugh, have fun, be happy, be laid back, be friends with people, you know, like, he loves football, you know, just that it's the same thing. And I remember being so starved after my last relationship, so starved for just someone happy, joyous, who wants to raise me up, who wants to be out with me, around with me, who doesn't judge me, who doesn't want to change me, who's just like, yeah, you're the best. And, like, let's go have a good time. Like, and let me meet your friends. Like, when Bo wanted to be around my friends, when he wanted to, like, hang out with them and just, like, literally thought everything I did was amazing. I didn't want to change anything about me. I was like, holy shit, this is wild. This is what it's like. This is what it's like to be in a relation, a normal, like, healthy relationship where someone just really actually likes and loves you. Like, and so that's what I think Taylor Swift is in now. I think that she was in the relationships in the past where, like, they wanted her to be different. They wanted to change her. And now she finally is with someone who's like, I don't want to change anything about you. I want you to be exactly the same. I want to meet your friends, hang out with them, and I want to have a good time and be happy. And that's where she's at. And so if what I'm saying is true, and Travis is her beau, given that that my other theory, that she's put this album out right now because she wants to take a long break, then maybe that means they're going to get married. How fun. How fun. I could really talk about this album for a really long time. I realize, like, I'm running out of time. I feel like there's, like, still stuff that I want to say. Like, I've seen so many things about how she's, like, coming at her fans, her fandom in this album. Again, you guys, we don't know fully what she means, but also, yeah, her fans can get a little bit cray-cray sometimes and judge her for every move she makes and think that they know her better than she knows herself. Her fandom, no offense if you're one of them, one of the ones that went and, like, you know, commented weird shit. Like, I'm a fan, but I don't comment weird. I guess I do on my podcast. Okay, fine. I'm one of them. I'm part of the problem. I'm part of the problem. She wrote that song for me. That song was at me. I am the problem, okay? Because I'm sitting here talking about her relationships. Yeah, but we all need to calm down and just like let her live her life for sure. So like, I'm going to take that song, the like, but daddy, I love him or whatever. And I'm just be like that. She wrote this for me and my podcast, you know, me and Taylor Strucker, who are like, what? She's friends with who? She's doing what? That's me. And noted, heard, digested. Like I've got the memo, Taylor. Like I'm going to calm down. I'm going to relax. Like I'm going to let you do your thing. I'm going to try. That was a journey. I also feel we have to talk about the Kim Kardashian of it all. I saw this TikTok. I need to say who this guy is. Okay, it's his handle is at the Cardigan Guy. And he did this TikTok where he's like, you know, my favorite part of this album is just that, like, you know, it is so devastating. It's so emotional. It's about heartbreak. It's about loss. And it's like, it's, you really feel it. Like, it's intense. Like, only someone who has been heartbroken can understand just how devastating this album is, how real, how raw, all the things. And then she just decided to just be like, oh, wait, but also, by the way, fuck you, Kim Kardashian. Still don't like you. Like, the pettiest ever. Like, she's just like, let me write the most intense album ever, but like, put in a song or two. That's like, by the way, Kim, still haven't forgotten, holding on to that grudge, not over it. Here you go. Your kids are going to be singing this song. And you're going to know that it's about you. Whoa. Savage. And let me just say, I'm a fan of both. I love the Kardashians and I love Taylor Swift. Two truths can exist at the same time. Like, they don't cancel each other out. I love them all. Love them both. Okay, but this move right here on Taylor Swift, great move, bold move, like it in epic, needs to be studied in history books. We don't need to study like the art of war in terms of like the battlefield. We need to study the art of war in terms of the Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian feud, because this move that she just made by like doing this song, doing the K-I-M capital letters, saying I'm writing the spray tanned bronze statue. I'm writing this song, changing all of the details about you so that you don't know what it is, but your kid, you'll know what it is, and your kid's gonna sing this song and you're gonna know it's about you and how much you suck and you hurt me. Like, holy shit. That needs to be studied. I've seen some criticism of people being like, okay, Taylor, it's like time to get over it. Like, it's time to get over the Kim Kardashian stuff. It's time. Why? Why? Why does she need to get over it? Like, why can't she just like not get over it? Like, the only reason I think we should get over things is to help ourselves. Because when you get past things, when you move past things, when you let them go, when you let them not affect you anymore, when you feel no pain because of them, you're just then a happier person. Like, that's like selfishly. Like, it's better for yourself, you know? Okay. But if that's not a concern of yours, why should she move past it? Like, if she doesn't care, if she's like already happy and she's like, no, I'd rather still feel that pain than like let it go. Like, she shouldn't have to. Like, no. Because the second that sometimes like you let go of the grudge, you give an inch, they take a mile. And then you find yourself in a situation where you're like, wait, how did I get here? You respond to one text from someone to just like be polite, be decent. And then all of a sudden, they won't stop texting you back. And your phone keeps dinging, ding, 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 ding. And you have novels worth of texts. And now this person thinks that you're like best friends again. And you're like, no, I was just being polite by responding to a text. Whoa, now I know I just have to fully ignore you completely. Now I know I can't give you that inch because you will for sure take it the wrong way and think that everything's okay now. And it's not. I was just like, I'm just like over it and just like trying to be polite. But just because I'm over it doesn't mean I want to be around you. Boundaries. And it sounds like Taylor Swift has healthy boundaries. And that's how I feel about the whole Kim Kardashian part of it. I just wonder how that works since all of her like besties are doing Skims campaigns. Like, I need to know. That's the only thing that confuses me. Like, it's very clear. Like, you know, Taylor talked about Kim in her Times interview. She wrote these songs. Like, very obvious. She's not over it. She's angry. She is so hurt. Like, and she wants people to know it. So then why are her besties going and doing Skims campaigns? That will be the mystery. That's the mystery. That's the greatest mystery of this whole album. It's not about what song is about who. It's not about which boyfriend. It's not about is she talking about Travis here? Is she talking about this here? No, it's the greatest mystery is what's going on with her friends doing Skims campaigns. I need to know. If anyone has any insight, DM me. TM me. DM Stassi podcast, my podcast Instagram, because I'll see it more likely there. I at Stassi podcast. I need to know. I need to know. That is what keeps me up at night. Not about who these songs are about. Are she talking to her fans? Is it about Joe? It's what is going on with her friends doing Skims campaigns if she loathes Kim this much. We need to get to the bottom of it. So that's it. I didn't realize that I was going to stream of conscious my book and Taylor Swift it up for so long. I mean, I feel like there's so much more I could say. I need to just get Taylor Strecker back on next week so that we can really get into the Taylor Swift stuff, because there's just so much more. The Fortnite video. So my vibe. Obsessed. If I could make a video, a music video, that one of them, it would be like that. Love. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful week. If you could go rate, review, subscribe, that would be great. If you want to listen to this ad free, you can go to patreon.com/Stassi. Love ya, mean it.